We're doing the book of Shmuel, and we learned last week about the war on behalf of the people of Yavesh Gilad and how Shaul bravely led the Jewish people to war and had a tremendous victory. And then the Jews proclaimed they want Shaul as king, and no one dare say anything against him. Shaul is reinstated as king. And then Shmuel takes the people and says, okay, let's take an accounting. You wanted a king. I've given you a king, and I've been with you since I was a kid. And now, tell me, have I done any wrong to anyone? Have I been unfair to any of you? And they all testify, no, you've been completely fair. You've taken nothing unjustly. And then he says, okay, God and his anointed one are witnesses today that you have no claims against me. And everyone declares, we accept the testimony. Shmuel says, Hashem who gave you Moshe, Aaron, took you out of Mitzrayim. Now, take note. I want to go before Hashem and recount and review with you all of God's kindness that He did with you and your forefathers, starting from Yaakov going down to Egypt, and then God saving the Jews from Egypt with Moshe and Aaron and bringing them to the land of Israel. And what did you guys do? You paid him back bad for good. He did good, you did bad, you forgot him. So God gave you into the hands of Sisera, the general of Hazor, and then in the hands of the Philistines, and in the hands of the Moabite kings, and you called Hashem each time. You said, we regret it, God. We regret we left you. Save us. Hashem sent you, prophet after prophet, up to me to save you from your enemies. And you've been living in the land of Israel with confidence. And then you saw that Nachash is attacking you. And you said, okay, we want a king. We can't continue this way. We want a king. And in truth, God is your king. You don't need a king to succeed in your wars. But you chose a king. And now I want to tell you how wrong you did in choosing a king. I didn't want to do it before, so you shouldn't think I'm keeping the honor for myself. I gave you what you wanted. I gave you your king. You have your king. And God gave you the king. God agreed. But I want you to know, if you fear God and you serve Him, you don't rebel against Him, then you and your king will be successful. And if you don't, if you rebel, then Hashem will punish you and your forefathers. From here our sages derive, when children sin, their forefathers in the grave suffer as well. And I want you to take note today what God's going to do before you. We're in the middle of summer. Here in Israel in the summer it doesn't rain. And if it rains, everything gets destroyed. Now watch how it's going to thunder and rain unnaturally in the middle of the summer. Not a cloud in the sky. You'll suddenly see a thunder and rain. And then you'll see how bad what you've done is. You see, I could go against the laws of nature. That's because I pray on your behalf. I could have also had you win any war by praying on your behalf. You didn't need a king, but you wanted a king, and that was wrong. Shmuel calls out to Hashem, and it starts thundering and raining, and the nation realizes all their crops are getting destroyed. And they beg Shmuel, no, pray for us. We don't want to die. We understand. We've sinned. Shmuel says, yeah, you have, but don't worry. You stick to Hashem, and things will be okay. And don't go following idol worship. Hashem's never going to leave you. Hashem wants you as His nation. And I too, I'm not leaving you. I'll continue praying for you and guiding you. But your job is to serve Hashem in truth. Shmuel recognizes that in establishing a king, there's great potential to leave the way of Hashem. And Shmuel warns them, if you sin, you and your king will suffer. And now we're up to what might be called the 13th chapter. And we have a pasuk that seems unclear. The pasuk says, Ben Shana Shaul b'molcho. Shaul was 1 year old when he became king. So that obviously doesn't mean he was 1 year old. It means it was like he was 1 year old. Just like a 1 year old has no sin, so to Shaul when he became king was clean of sin. Ushtei shanim alach al Yisrael. The pasuk says he was king for all of 2 years. So again, the question is, does that mean literally? Is everything we're going to read now going to take place in 2 years? That's a little difficult. It could be, it means he reigned for 2 years and then the following happened. What happened? Shaul took 3,000 men. He had 1,000 stationed in Michmash and in the mountains of Basel, and 1,000 were with Yonasan and Givat Binyamin, and the rest of the people he sent home. Yonatan said, we're starting a war. We're starting a rebellion against the Philistines. And so Yonatan went and killed the Philistine governor. And he sent word throughout Israel, be careful. And Shaul blew the trumpet, blew his horn, telling the Jews, be careful. We're starting a war against the Philistines. We're starting the procession of removing them from Israel. Now once they heard that, the nation gathered for war. The Philistines heard we had gathered for war, so they gathered. Now catch the numbers. 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and so many soldiers that the Navi just says, like the sand at the edge of the sea. So you could figure maybe 100,000, 200,000. So you're figuring 6,000 horsemen, 30,000 chariots, and probably at least 100,000 soldiers. The nation sees this. They go hide. Caves, holes, rocks. They're hiding in the mountains. And Shaul had agreed with Shmuel that when it comes time to war and the nation gathers with him by Gilgal, Shaul will wait 7 days. We have a rule in Halacha, Miktzat Hayom Kikulo. Once you've started a day, it's as though you've done the whole day. The beginning of the day equals like a whole day. So Shaul waits till the beginning of the seventh day, and then he sees that people are starting to leave his ranks. Now you have to figure at this point, the Navi tells us Shaul was left with 600 men. He was outnumbered 5-1 against the chariots. He was outnumbered 10-1 against the... He was outnumbered 50-1 against the chariots. 10-1 against the horsemen. And we don't know how many numbers they had by foot. Infantrymen. The Navi doesn't even give us a number. He's left with 600 men. 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and maybe 100,000 infantrymen. So he has his little band with him, and he looks out, and as far as he could see, there are soldiers. His little band is going to take on all those soldiers. You can imagine what fear might have gripped Shaul. Doesn't say he was scared. Shaul is the chosen one of Hashem, and he's ready to go to war. And imagine what tzaddikim, these 600 men were, ready to go to war with him. We could understand everyone else that went to hide. Shaul sees the seventh day has come, and the Philistines are starting to make maneuvers, and he has some time, but the nation, some of the people are starting to leave the ranks. So he brings the sacrifice. The Navi told him, wait till the seventh day. He figured, it's the beginning of the seventh day, he's not here, I waited. He was wrong. He just finishes bringing the sacrifice and Shmuel shows up. Shaul goes out to greet him. Shmuel says, what'd you do? Shaul said, I saw the nation was starting to leave and the Philistines were getting ready for war. And I said, you know, we're going to have war and I haven't yet greeted God, so to speak. I haven't brought a sacrifice. So I contained myself. I went against what I'd like to do. I forced myself and I brought the sacrifice. And Shmuel turns to Shaul and he says, oh, you messed up. You didn't keep the mitzvah of Hashem. Hashem sent the Navi, Hashem sent me to tell you to wait and bring the sacrifice with me. You didn't. You didn't keep the mitzvah. And the Torah says, in order for a king to have a dynasty, he must keep the mitzvah of the prophet. You didn't. And so, your kingdom will not last. Your kingdom will not continue as a dynasty. Hashem wanted someone who will go with his heart. Hashem planned on giving you limitless rule. Your children could have been the continuation, but they will not be. Hashem put you in charge, but you didn't keep the mitzvah of Hashem. Shaul has to go to war after such a speech. He goes to war with 600 men, and they're standing on one hilltop, and the Philistines start dividing their attack in three fronts. So they see masses, tens of thousands, heading to the left, tens of thousands heading to the right, and the masses of the army standing in the center. And Yonasan, he and Shaul are the only ones that have swords. The Philistines took away any blacksmith from the Jews to ensure they wouldn't make weapons. So the Jews are coming with their shovels and all their instruments for plowing, and that's what they're going to use as weapons. And the only ones who had real weapons were Shaul and Yonasan. And the Philistines start attacking. They start dividing, and they're preparing to encompass Shaul and his men. Yonasan and his lad are standing, and they see on one hilltop a battalion of Philistines is approaching. So Yonasan takes his lad and he says, do you want to come with me? And we'll see, we'll attack them. They go, the lad says, sure, I'm with you. Yonasan says, it's up to God. If God wants us to win, it has nothing to do with numbers. And the lad says, whatever you want, my heart is completely with you. Yonasan says, we'll reveal ourselves to them. And if they tell us, come up to us, so then we'll come up. If they say, stay put, we'll come to you, so we'll stay put. But if they tell us, come up, that means they're telling us, come up and overcome us. It's a sign from God, we will win. They reveal themselves and the Philistines say, come up here and we'll teach you a thing or two. Yonasan tells the lad, that's the sign we were waiting for. God gave them in our hands. Yonasan is climbing on his hands and feet. They have the uphill advantage. He can't even fight. He's on his hands and feet. So you'll ask me, how did he win? I'll tell you, I don't know. But the Navi says that he attacked. And in the first attack, he killed 20 men who were all standing next to one another. They could have helped one another. Yonasan knocked them down and his lad would come following up behind them and kill them. The Philistines see what two people can do. And the Philistine camp starts retreating. They start retreating and Shaul has his outlook. The outlook is looking and he tells Shaul something's happening because the Philistines are suddenly retreating. Shaul says, take a look. Who's gone? Who left? Who attacked? They discover Yonasan is gone. Shaul turns to the Kohen and he says, let's see whether we should attack, whether God approves or not. And by the time the Kohen is ready to get his act together, Shaul says, forget it. The Philistines are retracting so much, he has no choice. He must attack. So they attack. And when they come on the camp, they find the camp in disarray. The Philistines, it seems, probably hired paid mercenaries. They're fighting one another. There's internal struggle with the Philistines. And the Philistines had taken a lot of Hebrews who were forced in their labor camps to work on their behalf. And now that they saw that Shaul and Yonasan were winning, suddenly from within the Philistine camps, these Jews came back to life. They came back and they started attacking from within. The Jews who were in the mountains, they'd all been hiding, thinking there wasn't a chance they'd win. When they saw the Philistines in retreat, they started coming out of the mountaintops and they attacked as well. And that day, we pushed the Philistines back. Shaul sees that the people are so successful, he says, no one's allowed to stop to eat from the loot, no one's allowed to eat. Today, we got to finish off this war. They enter the forest, and in that forest, they see dvash. Dvash is any liquid that's sweet. Dvash can mean honey, dvash could also mean sugar. And in this pasuk it means sugar, because in a forest you don't see canes of honey, you see canes of sugar. So they come into the forest and the canes of sugar are so full that there's a stream of sugar flowing through the forest. And no one dares touch it, because Shaul made them all promise that no one's going to eat today. And they're tired, they've been fighting a war. Yonasan wasn't around when his father made them take the vow. So Yonasan sticks his staff into the honey and he's eating. Someone yells at him and says, your father made us all promise we don't take a vow. Yonasan says, that's terrible. He destroyed you guys. Look, I was ready to die if I wouldn't have eaten. And I've eaten and look at how much better I can do. You know, if people would have eaten, we would have been more successful in this war. That night, the nation is wiped and it's time to eat. So they slaughter animals. And the pasuk describes it as Vayochal ha'am al adam. They ate over the blood. They didn't salt it. They didn't bless on the shechita. Chazal tell us all it means is that they would eat before the sacrifices had their blood sprinkled on the altar. Shaul says, that's terrible. You guys have been traitors today to eat like that. And Shaul ensures that they sacrifice correctly and then they eat the food correctly. We see the great piety of Shaul. Shaul says, let's attack them tonight and finish them off. The Kohen says, why don't we ask God? They ask God, and God doesn't answer them. Shaul says, why isn't God answering us? Must be we've done something wrong on this day. I swear, even if it's my son Yonasan, whoever wasn't faithful to our pact will die. And everyone was quiet. They all knew it was Yonasan. He says, we'll draw lots. They make lots. Comes out on him and Yonasan. Shaul draws lots between him and Yonasan. Yonasan comes up. And he turns to Yonasan and he says, son, tell me what you do. And Yonasan says, I ate from the dvash. I ate from the sugar. But if I have to die, I'll die. Shaul says, okay, Yonasan, I swear, that's what'll be, Yonasan, you're going to die. And the nation turns to Shaul and says, Hayonatan Yamut, will Jonathan die? He's the one that made this great salvation today. God made the salvation through him. God forbid, a hair won't fall from him. God was with him today, and the nation redeemed Yonasan. Chazal say they were able to annul the vow. The nation did a heter of the Shvua, and then Shaul felt that God wasn't with him to continue the chase, so Shaul retreated. Now, Shaul led great military campaigns, and the rest of the book of Shmuel is going to tell us about Shaul's failures. In the next few psukim, we have a description that could really fill up a history book about the military campaigns of Shaul. He was successful against the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the nations of Tzovah, the Philistines. Wherever he went, he was successful. He destroyed Amalek. But all of this is forgotten in history because ultimately he lost the throne. And the rest of the book is now going to be focused on Shaul's downward decline. Shaul had children, Yonasan, Yishvi, Malkishua, and two daughters, Meirav and Michal, and his wife's name was Achinoam. His chief general was his cousin, Avner. Shmuel tells Shaul, I was supposed to anoint you as king. Once we have a king, we have an order of mitzvot in the land of Israel. Appoint a king, wipe out Amalek, build the Beis HaMikdash. That's the order of mitzvot in Eretz Israel. You have to have a king. The king leads us to war. The war, first war that we have to fight is obviously to live here, and then the war against Amalek, and then after Amalek, build the Beis HaMikdash. So Shmuel tells Shaul, that's the order of business. Hashem says, it's time to finish the counting with Amalek. Now, if Shaul would only live up to his job here, Shaul from the tribe of Binyamin could have been Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach from Rachel's children. If Shaul will not fail now, if Shaul will live up to his job, then he will become the Mashiach from Rachel, what we call Mashiach ben Yosef, and then David would become the Mashiach of David. So let's see if Shaul does. Shmuel tells him, go and destroy everything about Amalek. Don't intellectually decide you should have compassion. He doesn't say don't have mercy. He says don't have intellectual compassion. Two different things. There's rachamim and there's chemla. Rachamim is you hear a baby crying, you automatically feel bad for them. He wasn't talking to him about that. He told him, lo tachmol. Don't intellectually decide I should have mercy on them. Shaul gathers everyone. He counts them through his sheep. You remember they passed the sheep through the corral? And they number 200,000, almost a quarter of a million. It tells us how many sheep he had. 10,000 from the tribe of Yehuda. And Shaul goes to the city of Amalek, and here we have a pasuk. It says, Vayorev Banachal. He fought by the riverbank. And the question is, what was he fighting by the riverbank? So Chazal say that Shaul started thinking to himself. We have a mitzvah in the Torah. Torah says if a man is found murdered over one human being, we have a whole procession by a riverbank where we bring a calf and we hack off its head and we send that word all over and we say, what happened? Does anyone know what happened that this man died? And we do a whole procession bringing sages from Jerusalem. We do a whole procession, make it famous, and then we never plant the place where that calf died, the place where the guy was found murdered. We will never plant there. It's going to remain soil that's barren. A person was found murdered. We have to find out who killed him, and if we haven't found out, so that soil remains barren forever. So Shaul said, if over one human being, the Torah said, we must do such a procession, so many people, I'm attacking a people that did us no harm right now. The Torah says, they're your nemesis. So long as they're around, the Jewish existence is in threat. They want you wiped out. They want to annihilate you. It's only a matter of time. When they'll have the power, they'll do it. It's either you or them. You have to realize it's an existential threat. Shaul says, I'm going to wipe out a whole city. So Shaul first sends word to Yisro's children, the children, the Cani from Yisro's family, and says, move out because I don't want you to be wiped out in the war with Amalek. And then Shaul goes to war. Now, Shaul's concept was not completely off. The Ramban writes that the reason the Torah tells us the genealogy of Amalek, the genealogy of Esav, the Chori, and the other families, is to ensure that no innocent bystanders get killed. So there is a logic to it, that you don't kill people who don't deserve to be killed. They go to war. And the nation and Shaul, after killing many people, they don't want to kill the king, Agog. So they put him in jail instead. And they don't want to just kill the cattle. So they say, well, take it into captivity. And God sends word to Shmuel and says, I regret that I anointed Shaul as king. He's not keeping my word. Shmuel spends the whole night weeping before God. He doesn't say it's over. He's a sinner. That's it. What do we care? Good riddance. We'll get a better person. No. He weeps all night. The nation listened to God on one level. They took all the cattle that was finished and derogatory, that stuff they wiped out. But all the fine cattle, they said, that we'll keep. Maybe we'll bring a sacrifices. We'll get to you in a second, Shmuel. Shmuel gets up early, goes towards Shaul, and Shmuel approaches. Shaul has established an altar. And Shmuel comes to Shaul. Shaul greets him and says, blessed are you to Hashem. I have fulfilled the word of God. Shmuel says, what's the sheep I hear? What's the cattle I hear? Shaul says, oh, we brought back the fine cattle and sheep to bring sacrifices before God. Everything else we destroyed. Shmuel tells Shaul, wait, I'm going to tell you that what God told me tonight. And Shaul says, speak. And this is going to be the turning point in Shaul's life. Up until this point, Shaul was modest. Shaul never wanted the position of being king. He always shied away from it. And Shmuel is about to give him the harshest words of criticism and point out his faults to him. And Shaul can't argue. He's talking to a prophet. He's talking to the man of God. Yeah. Shmuel.
Yeah, Rabbi, I was just wondering, like, in the beginning when Hashem, when Eretz Israel was about to choose a king, why didn't they choose a king from Yehuda in the first place? Why did it have to be from the tribe of Benjamin? Because Yehuda is supposed to be the leading, like from where the line of the king is supposed to come. Even when we left Egypt, Yehuda was the one that led us into Egypt and was, you know.
It's a good question. It's a good question. The commentaries discuss it. Remind me Thursday night, Bezlach. It's a good question. If you want the answer, look at the blessings and Yaakov's blessings, and look at the blessings, Moshe's blessings. It's discussed over there openly. The blessings of Yehuda over there, where it says Yehuda will lead the way, right there it's already discussed. Why wasn't he first? And the commentaries when Shaul is anointed as king. Over there too, Chazal discuss it. So I think we're going to pause here and pick up here next week.